Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused, and let Words of Life minister to you by our pastor, Antonio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
I want to use for a thought and a topic title for this message. That's what I was going to call it, but this is what is in my spirit. Problems preceding the power. In this particular chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, and we all know who Luke was, and you know, Luke was the great physician of his day that apparently he had to be the darkest of the disciples, because he is actually depicted as a man of color in history, although all of them had some color, man. But he's truly depicted as the man of color. So he had to be pretty dark. They couldn't lie about what color he was. Okay, I'm going to leave that alone. But Luke, being a physician, he wrote his account. Luke was a companion of Paul, who traveled, who also spread the gospel, who, you know, Luke didn't let his science or his studies keep him from knowing the true and wise God. Many times people become too intelligent to dedicate their lives totally to God. But Luke was one of those that said, look, Jesus plus education equals success. Amen. And so Luke wrote this, and this chapter here being the chapter, I like to call this chapter the chapter of anointing and power, because you find that after Jesus had been baptized by John, and we see here the story is that Jesus went to John. John was baptizing all kind of people. They had people coming to John. They had publicans coming. These people were people who were your worldly folks who were dealing with money and stuff. And so he said, quit cheating, John. What we need to do, John said, quit cheating, folks, and take only what you're supposed to take. He told the soldiers came to John and said, John, what do we need to do? John said, well, you need to quit accusing people falsely and taking from them, and be content with your wages.
Amen.
You know, we ain't content. We ain't never content, right? We not, okay. He tells them all of this, and guess what? And the scripture says, and after all these people were baptized, Jesus came to be baptized too. Now, you would think that because Jesus is who he is, he don't need to be baptized. Mm-hmm. Because we know Jesus is the Son of God, right? So he don't need to follow all the rules because of who he is. And you know, that's the problem with many of us people of color. You know, we think that because of who we are, we don't really have to follow the rules. Especially when, and that's the reason why many of our businesses don't work, because we want to get a hookup. All right, I'm going to leave that alone then. You know how it is, and we always want to holler about we being blessed, but what about being a blessing? So Jesus came to be baptized, and John knew who he was. And Jesus said, let us suffer to be like this for right now, because I need to fall in order. Because in that day, and if you really did a study, you'll find out that the high priest, that was Caiaphas and Annas, those guys, they were appointed high priest by the Roman government. But John himself was actually supposed to be the high priest of that day. And so Jesus came into order, and he submitted himself to John, and he was baptized. And this goes to show you, I don't care what your call is and how high you think you ought to be and how important you think you are, you need to learn how to be submitted.
Amen.
That's what, if Jesus did it, what about you?
Amen.
Oh, we want people to call us, you know, I run into people all the time, you know, they want to, you know, make a big issue by name, Reverend, and you know, Reverend, whatever, Reverend, the country folks say, Apostle, Prophet. You know what? I'm humble enough to know who I am. Humility is a good value and a good virtue that you should have, and so we need to stay humble. Jesus had to humble himself, and John, and the Bible says that once this happened, the heavens opened up, and God spoke, And they heard him say that this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. The dove descended, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove upon him, and he came out of the water, right? Amen. Now, after this, after he came out of the water, the Bible says in chapter 4 that Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. He returned from his baptism, his submission. He returned from that, from his submerging, amen? Yes. And he says that he was led by the Spirit into the what? Wilderness. Now look at this, the problems preceding the power. Here it is. He says, being led of the Spirit, he went into the wilderness, amen? Just because you're led don't mean that you're not going to be attacked. Y'all with me? I want you to get this today. I don't care how it comes from me, but you got to get it. Amen. Just because you're spirit led doesn't mean that there won't be an attack on your life. And we seem to have a problem understanding that when we get spirit led and because the Spirit is leading us, we think it's supposed to just be smooth. We think that it ought not be no obstacles and no opposition. We think that there ought not be no conflict and no confusion or even no chaos. But guess what? Because of the anointing on your life, there will be an attack. Y'all still with me here? We expect us not to ever get sick, not to ever be talked about, not to ever have faults, and not to ever have situations that arises that won't be favorable. But because you are full of the Holy Ghost, those things are going to happen. Amen. Somebody say amen now.
Amen.
And so being spirit-led doesn't exempt you from going through trouble. Being spirit-led does not exempt you from having problems. Being spirit-led don't mean that you don't see it, don't mean that you don't know it, don't mean that you ain't praying. What it means is that the devil sees what you see, and the devil sees what God sees on you, and so he wants to try to attack and try to hinder, try to halt, and try to stop whatever it is that God has for you to do. He wants to be a hindrance in your life because he knows through you that God's word is going to be spread. Through you, somebody's going to see your life and they'll believe. Now, you got to make sure your life is right. Come on and say amen. And so through you, he believed that somebody may be healed, delivered, or set free. You may cast the devil out of their life, out of their mind, or whatever. If you're not trying to cast the devil out of somebody's mind, then you're not doing what God called you to do. Amen. Because we have people that have the devil in their mind, they're obsessed, and they got mentally they're thinking the devilish ways and devilish ideas, and they got devilish things happening in their mind. And we got to talk to them and say, look, you know, that ain't the right thing. That's the devil. Come on and say, man. All right, okay. I know some of y'all don't believe the devil is real because y'all don't think hell is real, but I'm going to tell you, it's hot out there today. It's going to be hot in hell for eternity. Amen? All right, look. He says, now after this, he was led into the wilderness. Now, I know you wouldn't think that the Holy Spirit is not supposed to take me to the wilderness. He's supposed to take me to a prosperous place. He's supposed to take me where things are happening. But it says that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness.
Yes.
And I know you don't think God is going to lead. God, this can't be God. This can't be God. And because we don't think it's God, because of the little trouble we have, the little conflict we have, because we have a little thing happen in our life, we say, this can't be God. And we become like horses. You know, horses are creatures of flight. They go whatever way the least resistance. If you pull them one way, they're not going to fight you to go the other way. They're going to just turn. If you pull the bridle the other way, they'll turn the other way. Amen? Because they don't want to feel the pain or they don't want to feel the pressure. And so we have all this power, just like horses. Powerful animals, but they can be led by a bit, that's a bridle that's put on them. Amen? And that's how we are. The little thing that the enemy put in our mouth, the little complaining that we get, the frustration that we have, and we let it run out of our mouth, that's what we're led by. We ain't led by God. We're led by how we feel, and how we feel just coming out of our mouth. And the more it come out of our mouth, the more we want to do something else other than what God told us to do. But God put you in the wilderness for a reason. Why did God put me in the wilderness? He put me there to prepare me for power. He put me there to prepare me for power. He put me there to prepare me for a future. He put me there to prepare me for success, because we're not successful just because we come get baptized. You're not successful until you can overcome the attack of the enemy and what the enemy is trying to do and what the enemy is intending to do is trying to kill or to steal, doing to destroy you. Come on and say amen now. And so why do I go to the wilderness? Tell somebody, I'm going to get prepared. See, you don't want to be in the place of preparation. And since you don't want to be in the place of preparation, you're unprepared when it's time to go through your trial. You're unprepared when it's time for the enemy to truly come against you. See, the wilderness wasn't real life for as far as what Jesus had to do in ministry. You read further down, you start to see what the wilderness prepared him for. Because in the wilderness, he was only out there with the devil. You know, the devil is one little, you know, sitting on your shoulder. You know how we depict the devil. He's just out there. You know, the devil is not so big and bad. So we think he's a little something that's influencing us. But you know what? Jesus out there in the wilderness with nobody but the devil. He didn't have no people around. He didn't have nobody to talk to. He didn't have nobody to encourage him. Preach. He didn't have, and sometimes we're in the wilderness, you ain't got nobody to encourage you. You ain't got nobody to talk. Shut up and just stay in your wilderness. Just be quiet and let whatever it is you need to learn in the wilderness, learn it. So when you come out, you have the power that you need. I'm not going to stay very long in that. I got to get out of here, y'all. Everything that cost Adam and Eve everything that they had, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, Jesus was tempted in all three of those areas. Yeah. And since he was tempted in all three of those areas, what Adam and Eve failed at, or what Adam failed at, because it didn't matter that Eve failed at, but what Adam failed at, Jesus, the second Adam, succeeded at.
Amen.
He overcame the temptation. Yeah. Y'all with me here? And so we're not after the order of Adam, because we've been redeemed. We are after the order of Jesus. So you have no business failing at the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Amen. Now, you can keep making excuses why you're failing at that, but there is no reason when you got the Holy Ghost. Preach. Look at here. Jesus had the Holy Ghost, and he went to the wilderness, and he was tempted by the devil in all those areas, and he passed the temptation. He passed the test. Come on and say amen.
Amen.
And how did he pass? He passed it because he was the Word. Come on and say amen. John chapter 1 said, in the beginning was the Word with God, and the Word is God. Amen. Jesus said, I know who I am, and so you can't trick me. That's what happened to Adam. Adam forgot who he was. I wish I had somebody. And when you know who you are, I don't care what nobody, the devil can say what he wants. You can't trick me. Come on. You can't get me out of my character. You can't trick me into the flesh. You can't trick me with the lust of the eyes. You can't trick me with the pride of life and try to, you know how it is. You know, when you're young and you're a child, your buddies can pump you up. Oh, I wouldn't let them talk to me like that. And you, your mama said this. And you call yourself going to try to buck up at your mama and get knocked clean silly. Uh-huh. You let the rest of them buck you up. Uh-huh. That was pride of life, because they tried to make you think that you was something when you say you need to be, when you really needed to be submitted. Come on and say hallelujah. And so here, Jesus, he overcame all those things, and he used the Word of God. He said, you're hungry, Jesus? Now look, he was out there 40 days, and the reason why he did 40 days is because a fly, I'm trying to get y'all to understand, a fly lays his larvae, his eggs, maggots, that's what it is, and it takes 40 days for them to hatch. Y'all with me? And these people believed in that day that Jesus cast out devils in the name of Beelzebub, which means the Lord of the flies, basically a devil. Huh? And all this is suggesting to us is that Jesus went 40 days to make sure that Beelzebub and show the devil that I don't care what you try to lay, you know, because the eggs lay until they hatch. And see, some of us got some stuff in us that Beelzebub put there, and we need some 40 days to get this mess out of. See when you got to be careful. Let me help somebody. I'm going to help you right now. Say, Pastor's going to help you right now. When you sit there and you listen to that mess that people lay, that egg in the idea in your mind, it take you 40 days to overcome that mess if you're really trying to overcome. But if you don't try to overcome before the 40 days is up, you start to prepare yourself for the hatching. So you position yourself to start doing whatever it was, or you get yourself to a place where you get bitter, you get unforgiveness, and you get all kind of doubt, and your faith is tampered with. All this stuff start to happen, and before you know it, by the time it hatches, next month, you acting a fool. Y'all ain't got to believe me. It's Bible. It's Bible. You ain't got to believe me. 40 days, that's how long it takes for that egg to hatch. But it needs an incubator. Tell somebody, don't be the incubator. Clean your mind. He said that we have to renew our mind. We have to renew it. And if your mind is not renewed, if your mind is messed up, you're going to have some messed up actions. Oh, come on and say, beliefs turns into actions. What you believe, if you believe, let me show you something. If I believe that Sister Nettie don't like me, I'm going to look for something. Y'all, you can. How I believe dictates my actions. So when I see Sister Nettie, even though Sister Nettie in her purse looking down, I pass by, I'm going to say, Sister Nettie ain't even speak to me. And then if I see Sister Dawn and Sister Rose and Elijah and Brother Elijah talking to Sister Nettie, I'm going to say they all talking about me. And I'm going to begin to act. What you believe dictates your actions. So be careful who dictate what you believe. Yeah. 40 days. And we can't spend 40 minutes in conflict. Huh? We can't spend 40 minutes in conflict because we crying by 30 minutes. We so angry after 5 minutes that we can't even think about the goodness of God. That's why you don't have peace, because he said that he'll keep you in perfect peace if you can keep your mind stayed on. But in the first 2 minutes, we done forgot about him.
Amen.
Y'all with me here? If you ain't, I'm going on. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. He started it off right. He started it. The temptation was about who he thought he was. He said, the devil said, Jesus, if you supposed to be the Son of God, huh? Now, why was he testing him on that? Because God said it. And so, because remember, the heavens opened and God actually said this.
Yeah.
This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Now, the enemy wants to attack you and tempt you based on your strongest point of your life.
Yeah.
So if he can weaken your strongest point, he got you.
Yeah.
If he can weaken the strongest thing that you believe in, he already got everything else is going to fall. So the first attack came to who he was.
Yeah.
And he said, look, doesn't matter, but man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. Now, what did that part have to do with him being the Son of God? Every word coming out of God's mouth versus you supposed to be the Son of God and you hungry, right? I realized what it had to do with it. When he tells him, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word, you can't be God's son without his word. You can't be a child of God if you don't get the word. We can come and confess and get baptized and all of that stuff and then walk out of here and not live like a son.
Amen.
We can be a prodigal son, but you still got to come home to the Father's word.
Amen.
Y'all still with me here? All right. I can't spend too much time on that. Let me move. So why I'm in the wilderness? Why am I there? Why? Because I'm being what? A few people heard me today. Thank you. I'm being prepared. I'm in the wilderness because I'm in a preparation period. I'm being prepared for something greater. Tell somebody, something greater is about to occur. That is why we're in the wilderness. That's why we're in a place where it seems like ain't nobody else there with us. That's why we're in a place where it seems like things are not happening the way that we want it to happen. That's why we're being tempted. That's why we're being tried. That's why we're hungry. What does that hunger mean? That means not having the necessities. Look, all right, I got to point this out, and I'm going to go on. He says that being tempted for, okay, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, afterward he hungered. I'll show you this. He was hungry after 40 days. The devil didn't come in day one. He came after 40. He came when he should have been seeing bread. He came when he should have been as weak as he could be.
Right.
Y'all still with me here?
Yeah.
He came at a place and time when it seemed like Jesus would have gave in just to taste a little something.
Yeah.
Right? The enemy is waiting to weaken you.
Yeah.
While you're in your preparation, he's waiting for you to get weak, so weak that you can't overcome.
Amen.
So weak that you can't be able to do the thing that God has for you to do. Now, the wilderness is not your place to stay, but it's your place to prepare, because the work is outside of the wilderness. All right, let's go on. So verse 1 through, if you're taking notes, verse 1 through 13 is the point of preparation, right? And verse 13 says, when the devil ended the temptation, he departed from him for a what? Season. This lets me know that the devil is not just going to come and, and not come back. He has seasons, and you know what? He knows when the seasons are.
Yes.
See, unlike you, he's aware of your season.
Yes.
See, you don't even know when your season is. You don't know when your season, because, when you're waiting on someone else to tell you what your season is. We wait on other people to tell us, oh, it's your season of harvest. I already know when mine is. Preach. And we're waiting on someone else to tell us, oh, you're in your summer season, your season, or we're in your spring, you're in your season of planting. It's your time to plant. No, you ought to know when it's time to plant. You ought to know when it's time to reap and time to sow. He said, to everything, there's a season. That's what Ecclesiastes, that's the Bible, right? He said, there's a season, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to live and a time to die, a time to cry and a time to laugh. All of that stuff, it's a time for it all. But we can't understand that that's just a season. A season is just a small period of time. And what that means is things will change sooner or later. But we get to, in our season, we want to get discouraged and we get all down and we get depressed and we want to throw in the towel and we want to make detrimental. We make moves off of impulse rather than principles. Stop making moves off impulse, how I feel, what I feel like. Stop feeling and make moves and things. Do things based off the principles of God. I'm sowing off the principle that he said that if I sow, that I reap.
Yeah.
Y'all help me here. So preparation, then when we get after preparation, guess what comes next? Persecution. And if you're a Christian and you don't think you're going to have to go through some things, then you're sadly mistaken. Not only sadly mistaken, but you're delusional, because you don't realize that the whole walk that you got in God is going through trouble, going through trials, going through tribulation. That is why he is a deliverer, to let you know that I don't care what you go through, every time you go through it, I have enough power to deliver you out of it. I have enough anointing to take you out of it. Do I have anybody here? I have enough power in my word to bring you out of any place that you find yourself in. Come on and say amen here. And so it says here that in verse number 14, look at 14. He says in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Look at this here. There are problems preceding the power. Y'all don't hear me here. He came and returned in the power of the Spirit. He had a comeback anointing. Amen. He had a comeback. He had an anointing that would come back no matter what the enemy tried to do. Jesus came right on back. Amen. And he didn't come back like he was. He didn't come back weakened. He didn't come back. He didn't come back a weakling, but he came back stronger. He came back with power. He came back. The word power there is the Greek word dunamis, which means that he came back to blow up on some stuff. He came back to change. You ever took some dynamite? You ever blowed up? You ever took some gas and throw the jug in there and it blew up something? It changed. It had a chemical change. It changed. It had a physical change. It changed everything. Whatever that thing looked like, it changed it. I wish I had somebody. And in other words, when Jesus came back, he said, I came to change the way Israel looked. I came to change the way you are. And so I'm so glad that I got filled with power, boom, dynamite. Come on, JJ, dynamite. Okay, I'm so glad that I got filled with the power of God, that it changed me, that I don't think the same way I used to. I don't act the same way I used to act. I don't worry like I used to. Come on and say amen. I ain't concerned about the stuff that other people are concerned about, because I learned this because of the power. I can forget those things which are behind and reach forth to what is before, and I press toward the mark for the prize of the high call which is in Christ Jesus. Now, ain't nobody mad in here but the devil today, because just showed his hand. We revealed what he's trying to do. He's trying to abort the mission. He's trying to stop you. He's trying to keep you from being healthy. He's trying to keep you from knowing who you are. He's trying to hold back the word of God. He's trying to stop up your ears and distract you. But today ain't no distractions. We're going to stand on the word of God. And I'm coming back with power. I'm coming. Look, I've been through some stuff. I've been down in the wilderness. But I realize being prepared. But now that I'm out of the wilderness, I came back with power. I fasted 40 days, and I should have been hungry. I should have been weak. But when I came back with power, not physical power, not horsepower, not electrical power, not nuclear power, but I came back with Holy Ghost power. Call it. Oh, come on and say amen. Power to cast devils out. Somebody show glory. I came back with power. I ain't ready to go there. I got to stop. Power. Came back. Tell somebody, I'm back. But I ain't the same old person I was when I went through it. Oh, yeah, before this mess, I was pretty strong. But I'm so much stronger now. Because I've been through the wilderness. I've been through a barren place. Did nobody come to help me? I ain't mad at nobody. But I'm so glad that I went through it by myself. Because while I was by myself, I found out who I was. You told me who I was. But I don't need your opinion. I know who I am. I'm a child of God. I'm an apple of his eye. I'm the righteousness of God. In Christ Jesus, say yeah. I'm back. I'm back. Tell somebody, say, he's back. Yeah, I'm back. I'm back. I'm here. Amen. So what happened is he came back in the power. Y'all got to sit down so I can finish it. You want it all, right? Okay, give me he returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee. And there it went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. Now look, let me show you something. When you go through your wilderness and you get prepared and you come back with power, the fame of Jesus went out, right? So what that really means is that people start talking about it. Why? Because there was a change. There was something different. And let me tell you something. You got to be different. You can't be the same person you was. You can't revert back to the same old stuff. You got to come out different. While you go through, look, when you're going through, say, I'm in this wilderness, but I ain't coming out the same way I went in. I'm coming out with power, and therefore people are going to talk about me. Huh? You know?